This message actually started as I was driving to work, and I decided to drive to work via the going through Silver Springs. And really quick, if you need a reference verse, or go to 1 Samuel 24, 3 through 5. And so I was driving, I have probably driven to Silver Springs and out to the parkway, but I don't think I've done it in the dark. So I started out driving that way, and I was literally just out of town, and I saw a turn lane on the road, and I went, I didn't know there was a turn lane out here. What has a turn lane? Am I on the right road? And I immediately started to doubt it. And I mean, to tell you literally how close I was to town, it actually is the one for the speedway. So the lights of Fernley are right behind you. But I was driving out there and I'm like, okay, am I on the right road? And I just kept going. And I'm like, it's the main road out of Fernley. Drove down, eventually got it. Two or three times on that road, I was like, I don't remember this. And I'm driving down that route, get to Silver Springs, go up, get to work. Next day, do it again. And I'm like, still don't know where that turn lane's coming from. But I was, you know, it's there. And I'm like, okay, keep going. And just, you know, marking it. Third day comes around. And by this time, I'm ready for it. I'm like, ah, there's the turn lane. And there's this turn. And then there's that road sign. And I was like, you know, I have my landmarks in the daylight. I can tell you that there's a hill over there. And there's a hill over here. And that this turn. And apparently, I have a different set of landmarks in the day and in the night. And my heart immediately goes, do you have those in your Christian walk? Do you have a different set of landmarks that you guide by in the light and in the day? And second thing was, should you? Did Christ have a different set of landmarks in the garden as to before that? And my first thought is, no, he didn't. You know, Christ would not have a different set of landmarks when he's in the garden versus 2 years before that. And I was just contemplating on that idea all day on Saturday. And I got to church, and I ran that idea. I asked Lawrence and Stephen, and Lawrence, of course, brought up the passage about a lamp unto my feet and a light, you know, light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a, you know, that's a good one. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I was contemplating on that. My mind kind of jumped to the, of course, to the Israelites crossing the Jordan. And I was really bothered by this because I'm like, well, would Christ have a different set of landmarks? And should I? And then what are mine? And how good are they? And I was just like mulling this idea over and over in my head. And for some reason, the story out of the Bible that popped into my head was David in the cave. When he's hiding in the cave and King Saul comes into the cave to go to the bathroom. And he cuts off a corner of his robe. And I was like, I went back and I read it. I'm like, Lord, what is in this passage? Because I immediately, like even on the trip out there, when I thought of landmarks, that's what I thought of. It was guideposts and how good it is at directing you. And I was just thinking about that, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I mean, David had the fortitude to see this in his life and have this opportunity. His men are telling him, hey, God has presented your enemy to you. You got this. He cuts off the robe, and then immediately is smote in his heart because he has done something against the anointed one. And he basically, he turns to his men and says, I shouldn't have done that. I have acted against the Lord's anointed one. And then, you know, he does come out and it works out for the good because he's like, hey, I had the chance to kill you. Don't be listening to the people who say I was trying to kill you because I had my chance and I didn't do it. But I thought about that and I was like, are my landmarks that good? Could I, if I was struggling in something and I had an adversary and I had an opportunity, that adversary was right before me and I could do to them what I wanted. And I was thinking about that and I just continued to think about that and I was like, oh. And then about a week later, my dad comes down and I was, you know, hey, Dad. And I told him the entire story. And he says, oh, you know, I wouldn't actually think that Christ's landmarks didn't change. They probably look different. There's just not any way that you could be in the garden and your landmarks aren't going to be a little bit different. It's one thing when your landmarks are out over here, and I mean, and I contemplated that, and I realized it's completely normal. If I tried to look for the same hill in the day, in the dark that I'm using in the light, I'm going to end up in a different spot because I am using the wrong landmark for the situation I'm in. Now, if Jesus could come and like sit down and tell us exactly what was in his head at the time, I think we would find a lot of correlations to 2 years before that as to that moment. But I can only picture if you're kneeling in the garden and that is, you know, what you're saying is, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I will. Not my will, but thine. That your landmarks are still going to be just as firm, just as solid, but they're not going to look the same depending on whose perspective. They're just going to be a lot closer. When we are in the dark, our landmarks are right in front of us. They are what we can see, and they are, that's the point of being having landmarks in the dark. I drove along. I never noticed that turn lane because that turn lane wasn't necessary in the light. I didn't need that. But when it was dark, that was a landmark. I could see that. That was close enough, and it was pertinent to the situation I was in. And I was like, I've actually really been contemplating that to, like, how I behave. I mean, yes, I have my landmarks, and that was something that Lawrence had brought up, that you have your landmarks in the day and in the night, and it's going to be different. But they're always there for the same reason. They are there. Your landmarks are there also because I can now stand here and I can tell you on that route, when you're driving towards Silver Springs, I'm sure you guys will all now look for a turn lane to the speedway. And but it's there because now when you go out there, you're going to be like, yep, Chris was right. There's a turn lane. And if you drive that way in the night, you're going to be like, just past this, got outside the city, there's a turn lane, what do you know? And you won't be like me going, am I on the right route? When you can see the gas station lights of Quick Stop behind you. You know, I was just, you know, that whole message is really, that whole idea has just been, it's not been bothering me. I've just been contemplating that for probably over a month now. But one of the other ideas that came to me is that the way that God does lead us through this, in the, you know, when the Israelites left Egypt, God had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire. So that tells me that God is going to provide us a, maybe not that kind of obvious one where if you are 50 miles away, you'd be like, yes, there's something over there, I should head that direction. But God will provide landmarks for us to see. I think that whole trip through Silver Springs was God's way of getting my attention and going, hey, you need to know this, you need to contemplate this, you need to think about this. So it may not be a pillar of fire going, follow this route to work, but it would be something where God's going, hey, you're going to look back on this and you're going to teach on this. And actually on those 3 days, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was like, oh, that's an interesting thought. But then I got to church, I was cleaning the church with Lawrence and Stephen, and Lawrence, you know, we were talking about it, and he says, oh, you know, it's funny though that you brought that up, because Josh and I were talking about what we were going to preach on and our messages, and it's very similar to that. And sure enough, Josh's message was on, was actually the Israelites when they crossed the Jordan and the landmark and the pile they built and how we need those in our lives. And Lawrence was telling me some of his, and he'd gotten into a little bit of it, but not a whole lot about his. And then it got more interesting, because when I told my dad got done, we were talking, and he says, oh, you know, it's funny you brought that up, because Herman, who is my dad's best friend, and him had been talking about it. And I said, oh, when was that? And he said, oh, last Friday. And I'm like, wait, you mean last Friday? So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, God was speaking to me about it. Friday, I believe it was, Lawrence and Josh were speaking about it. And the same Friday, my dad and his friend were going through it. And I'm like, I have a feeling God wants me to mention this to Pastor, because I have a feeling I know what the next time I get up to speak on, what it's going to be on. And Pastor did exactly that. He immediately looked at me and was like, so when do you want to speak? So it's just an interesting thing I've been thinking about, like, what are my landmarks? Where are they? Where are they in the scripture? What do I look to when I'm in the dark or when I'm in the light? And there is different passages. A lot of them are just different passages that if it's really dark in my heart, there's a different set of passages I read. And if it's all light, bright and cheery and I'm on a good path, then there's a different set. There's ones that I'm like, ah, yes, those promises are still there. They're good. Whereas in the dark, I tend to be like clinging to those really close and really, really asking God for guidance on that. And actually, I think I just about hit the end of my notes. See, I told you, Rolando, it's going to be a short one. But that was just the little bit that God gave me. And it's just an interesting concept as to where our landmarks are, how we use them, and what we're going to show others through those. Because you're probably all, again, going to be driving to Silver Springs going, yep, there's that landmark. And you're probably going to be driving home tonight going, well, what landmarks am I guiding home by? And then the next time you're, you know, praying, you might be praying to God that, you know, what landmarks am I showing other people? Where do I stand on this? And what direction am I pointing people in? And am I establishing things that I can speak to other people about and that they might be able to guide to a point off my landmarks? Well, that's all I have. So let's pray and we'll close this.
Could you tell me the scripture?
The initial scripture was 1 Samuel 24, verse 3 and 5. 3 through 5, sorry. That is the one where that covers from when David is in the cave to the point, I believe, right before he comes out of the cave and says, Saul, I could have killed you. So, all right, so we're going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time this evening. And Lord, help us to all meditate on this the same way I have. And Lord, please deepen my understanding of the scripture, Lord, as I continue to contemplate this. And help me to think about the landmarks that I guide by and that I point out to other people, Lord. Help us all to leave here and seek you more, Lord. I ask all this in your name. Amen.
You know, that's interesting, Chris, because, you know, in the Old Testament, they set up a lot of monuments.
Yes, a lot of monuments.
For the children. And it was so that when they passed by that way again, they would teach their children what had happened and make sure that the children knew that.
Yeah.
And so you're right. What kind of landmarks are we leaving?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And also,
very important.
Yeah, it's the landmarks. And then also if somebody comes up to you, what are you pointing, what direction are you pointing them? How are you guiding them and how are you directing them? Because I hadn't thought about it until you just said it, but some landmarks aren't going to work for some people. Some people may not be paying attention to the road. They might see the sign over here or the fence that's leaning in this direction. And I mean, now that you got me thinking about it, I mean, all the landmarks and the way that I can change them based on how I know people. Like if when I was at work, there's a different set of, it's not a different phraseology, but it's a different idea that it came up at work that brought up something with somebody who, her view, I believe, was along the lines of, well, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it was along the lines that, you know, God's a loving God. We'll all get there in the end. And I was finding myself picking different passages than if somebody in church had come up to me. But I hadn't thought about it until you said it. I mean, that say your neighbor's kids came up to you and said, oh, what's this for? You could tell them, oh, it was for this. But if you looked at them and said, oh, that's not working for them. That's not what is engaged their heart. here. You might be like, aha, but see this one over here. That's when whatever occurred over here. And you could change that and be like, ah, use this landmark or guide off this one. My dad actually had a, when I told him, he says, oh, it's, you know, an interesting story is that he was out hunting one evening, and he was out a bit late, and he was coming off the hill, and he said, I could not, it was pitch black. He's walking off this hill, and he said, I couldn't have told you that there was a radio tower on the hill directly across from him that had a light on top. He didn't notice it till he needed it. And he knew what the hill was based on where he was at. And he said, he couldn't have told me that there was actually a radio tower on that hill, much less that it had a light. But when he needed it, he just basically set, he said, I'm roughly here, that's there. Based on that, the road is there, and went in that direction. So. Oh, yes.
And I love to hike up to that, and I've taken just my oldest up to it. But I told my kids, I was like, I love that where we live, because I've hiked almost all the mountains surrounding Burlington.
Yeah.
I was like, anytime that you look at a little dot on top of those hills, Kip and I have done those together, and I'm like, we know what that is. Like, that's a cross, that's a flag, that's a pile of rocks, that's an airplane tower. And I was just telling my kids on the way.
And you know, I hadn't...
Like,
right. And I hadn't thought about that as an application, that, you know, that makes a really good one, that the concrete arrows and those towers, that when you know, before radio direction finding, if you needed to navigate from San Francisco to New York, you had those towers laid out, and you'd be flying along going, okay, from this one, it is, you know, 135 degrees, and you'd fly to there, and and they actually had different marks. Well, they're it changed because you didn't need the light during the day, so they had the concrete arrows.
Yeah.
And you had those marks, and I hadn't made that application until now. That's a really good one. Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it is.
But yeah, you're right.
God is definitely speaking to us about these landmarks. But I also, it makes me think also about, you know, when I left Mormonism.
Yeah. Nice.
All you need to do is just open up that Bible and pick a church, and I'll go with you. You know, and so I think that there are so many applications to that, and so many times that plays a huge part in our lives. And like you kind of brought up, is like, what kind of a landmark are we? And you know,
yeah.
Are we just a little bit of pressure there? You know.
Right. Well, and you know, and it depending on the situation. I mean, if somebody comes to you. I mean, your brother sounds, you know, fantastic that he immediately was like, aha, we'll go to the first landmark,
yeah.
Read your Bible,
yeah.
And then the second one, pick a church and I'll go with you. That's a fantastic lead-in to, you know, because it's not like me, you know, if like my coworker, I could have whipped out my Bible and been like, yeah, but see, this is what my belief system is. And she would have been like, ah, yes, that's your belief system. And but having that one, having the simplest ones. Okay, what's step one? Open your Bible. What's step two? Find a body of believers and then start from there. And I, when you say that, actually, I think back that many times that's what I've told people that I've done is if all else fails, I start at the basics. I just immediately, I'll go, okay, open the Bible. When was the last point that I knew I was on track? When was the last point? And you'll break it all down to the basics. Find that core step and be like, okay, that's the last point I knew that I was 100% in God's word. So what's the next one after that? Okay, God, that's the last point I know of. Where's the next one? I feel like I'm off track. Point me in the right direction. So. Well, thank you. And I'm hoping here in a little bit, I'm sitting here and while you guys are speaking, I love this, and I'm sitting here going, oh, we didn't have the mics in place, because actually one of the upgrades we're doing is we're putting mics in. And so I'm like sitting here going, well, this thing might be picking you up. And I was about to try and turn this one, I realized this one's turned off. Because I'm like, oh, I want to pick them up and get all of this. Because this would be really great. I mean, it's just continuing to, God took my message and is extending it. So, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, if only we had those microphones, because I really want everybody out there to be like getting this. But, well, thank you. Oh, Stephen's coming in.